Stand by for the Terry Saul Show in 5, roll tape, 4, cue Terry, 3, bring audio up, 2, stand by, 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Terry Saul Weekend Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host and I'm so glad that you joined us. This week's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Today we've got a room full. Our guests include my buddy Doc Nelson. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Once again, good morning, Terry. Thank you. Nice to be here.
And it's nice to have you here. And also join us in the studio is from Kicking Cancer. Wait a minute. Kicking Cancer's Movement. Don't tell me. Baron Robinson. Did I get it right?
You did get it right,
okay.
Yeah.
How you doing, Baron?
Doing good. Good to be here.
It's always nice to have you here. You brought a guest. We're going to talk to your guest here in a little bit. But first of all, tell me a little bit about what Kicking Cancer Movement is all about.
We are proactively teaching people how to prevent cancer while supporting people who are in the fight, like my guest here, Nolan DeHart, and Doc Nelson, and too many other people.
Right. Doc, what kind of cancer did you have? Yours is recent. Just this year you went through this cancer scare, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Well, they found out that I had a carcinoid tumor, which is a very rare tumor.
What is that?
It's a very slow-growing tumor that they found doing just a CAT scan because they thought I had kidney stone and found out it wasn't. And they said, oh, you got a mass in there. So they did a biopsy and said, no, this is called a carcinoid tumor. Again, they said I could have had it for 10 years. I had no symptoms whatsoever.
Well, that was my next question. Now, what were the symptoms you had?
Yeah, there weren't any. There really weren't any symptoms. They just happened to find this particular growth.
Was it just during a routine checkup?
Yeah, or? I was just doing a routine, going a physical.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, any problems? I had a little pain in my stomach one night. One night only. He said, well, that could be a kidney stone. Let's just find out. So they just said, let's, you know, check it out. Let's do a CT. Well, when they did the CT, they found that I had a tumor in there. I said, it's not very big, but we should check that out.
Geez.
So they sent me to an oncologist here in town.
Yeah.
Super, super doctor she is. And she said, well, let's do a biopsy. And I said, okay. So we did it, and they said, oh, yeah, there is a cancer in there. So being that I was in the military, I said, well, I'll go to the VA. VA says, we can't touch it. There's no way.
Why?
We can't operate on this.
Why?
It's so wrapped up in your lower intestines, it just, you can't do anything. You're just going to have to live with it. And my oncologist says, no, I don't think so. She says, there's a doctor at OHSU, and she says, need to go talk to him. So we went up to OHSU, and I saw the doctor, and he said, piece of cake.
Well, he's, what?
Yeah. I said, that's not what I'm hearing from other doctors. He said, no, he said, Dr. Pommier is his name. He does a surgeon in Portland, the surgery,
okay.
And he does it in London, England. Those are the only two places he does this surgery, and he's the only doctor, I could say, on the west of the Mississippi that does it.
Really?
And so he says, yeah, I can get that out. Okay. Well, after talking and thinking, well, maybe I'll do it later on, he says, I don't think I'd wait, because he said, this can wrap around your intestines more. So I said, okay. So we went up June 5th to OHSU, 7.5 hours on the table, and he got it out, 100%. They first find out that this comes from basically a lymph node. It's a very, very small point where it starts, and it just grows from there. And he said, you could have had it 10, 15 years. You don't know.
Wow.
So he says, I need to get where it started out. And he said, I can usually do that 80% of the time and get the tumor. And you're going to lose a little bowel in lower intestines. But he did it. He said, I found the spot right where it was. And he gave me pictures. He said, put them on your Christmas card.
You showed both of us pictures. And thank goodness this is radio and not television.
Yeah, like I say,
if you're on Doc's mailing list for Christmas cards, don't open the card.
Yeah, don't open the card.
That's what's coming.
But I was very fortunate enough that he got it all, and I went for, when they took the staples out, he said, okay, see you next June.
Nice.
So I was very fortunate. My oncologist went back and did a follow-up with her, and I will go see her in January, but basically a blood test. They felt they got it all.
So is there any chance this could come back?
there's always a chance, Terry.
Yeah.
You know, when you get cancer, you know, you get that thing. I can't say no. It never happened again. I don't know. Again, I've only been 5 months from the surgery. I feel great. I started playing golf 2 months after the surgery, and I gained 10 of my, I lost about 15, 16 pounds in that first week. I gained 10 of it back, and my wife said, that's it. You're not gaining any more. Stop where you are. But I feel good. So my strength is back. I could tell you, from what happened 5 months ago, I would have never known it happened the way I feel now.
Were at any point, were you ever in any pain at all?
Never.
So it never caused any kind of discomfort for you?
Just that one night that I had the pain, which they thought maybe was a kidney stone, which it wasn't. No, that was it was really weird.
And Baron, what you may not know, his wife is a retired nurse.
Okay.
So that doesn't help when you've got a nurse right there that's watching you.
When she
like
says, you're stopped, you're gaining no weight, you're not getting it back, okay.
That's just
amazing.
So,
And
again,
just a side story, because I met you in Albany. Actually, I met Doc in Albany. And when we heard about this, the Oak Knoll Golf Course was going to do one day at the end of July, where any nonprofit in town could bring their supporters out and raise some money. Well, the gal that owns the golf course is also a cancer survivor. So that morning, we did putting in pink.
Oh, wow.
We had a little putting contest. We had hoped that you would be there with us, so we did this. Knowing how much you like golf, we did a little putting contest just for you, Doc.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, for first couple of months, I was not what you could call out and doing a whole lot. It was very, you know, to the fact that you're weak and you get tired to doing too much.
Right.
But surprisingly, doctor said I could start playing golf in August, and August 1st, I was on the golf course.
Nice.
Yeah.
Baron, you've also brought a guest in here with you today, and explain who you have with us.
So I mentioned him last time, and I have told people that if they didn't hear the last, they can go to terrysoul.com. Podcast 212 is the first one we did. Podcast 223 is the second one. So anyone that goes and listens to Podcast 223, I actually mentioned Nolan DeHart. I met Nolan in the summer. Lisa Walker at the Volcanoes does a cancer awareness weekend. And she asked if we knew any survivors who wanted to throw out the first pitch. I actually didn't know Nolan, but one of the members of our board did know him. And so I just reached out and said, you know, would you like to throw out the first pitch? Turns out Nolan's a big fan of baseball, and that was like a really big thrill. So I have told Nolan that he has thrown a pitch at a Major League Baseball game.
Hey, Nolan, how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Let me ask you a question. I had the opportunity to throw out a pitch one time.
Yes.
It was a little bit tougher than what I thought. Because you got to try to get it over to the plate
instead
of 5 feet in front of you where it drops.
Right. Okay. Unless it's a trick pitch, perhaps.
I practiced for a week.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Me too. It got away from me as well.
Yeah. So how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Can I ask you how old you are?
26.
26 years old?
Yep.
Okay. You have had cancer or you have it?
I've had it. About 10 years in remission now.
I had
it twice, though, as a kid. So,
What type of cancer did you have?
It was ALL leukemia, acute lymphomic leukemia, and it first started at 2.5 years old, and then it was treated for about 2 or 3 years with chemotherapy, and then I was good for 7 years, and no sign of it, no trace of it, and it decided to come back just before I turned 13. So it was a really rare relapse that doesn't often happen. Usually, if it's going to come back, it's going to come back pretty quickly. At 15, I guess, I had spent a good third of my life up at Dornbecker's being treated.
Isn't that a wonderful place?
It is a wonderful place, and it's full of wonderful people that work there. They really are. I was telling Baron earlier, actually, about a nurse who went out of her way to stock the toy chest for me with the Batman toys that I liked after I had a surgery or something.
Yeah.
And they're just good-hearted people there. They really are.
I'd have told them red licorice.
Red licorice.
Give me red licorice.
I don't think they were trying to wind us up too much. They were trying to get us to
club. It's interesting, Terry, that he likes Batman, because at the end of August, I went to Tigard. They had this Hero Up run. So it's a group that does a run. You dress like a superhero, and they raise money for Dornbecker's for the childhood cancer. And so my son came as Robin, and I came as Batman. Didn't know that about. But I ran into, so anyone who's seen the new Avengers, Thor gets very sad, and he gets very fat. So he's Fat Thor. So I got a picture standing, Batman standing next to Fat Thor, And I posted it on Facebook that I was kicking cancer in Asgard.
Oh, nice. Nice. Are you cancer-free now? What's your status?
I am, yeah. I'll never be declared cured again, just for, I'm sure, legal reasons or something. But I'm in permanent remission, okay. And it's been a good 10 years now.
Good for you.
And
good for you.
Feel pretty good. It's left a little bit of residual side effects with me after all the
You got more
years.
Hair than I got.
I did get to grow that back. That was the best part.
Was that a big deal for you at 13 years old to lose your hair?
Yeah, I had kind of long hair at the time too, and was in middle school, and where everything is so important, you know, how you look.
Sure,
and so it was very strange to go from that to bald. And I remember just running my hand through my hair one day, and I pulled a clump out, and I was like, oh, I guess it's starting. And
Doc, you never lost your hair, did you?
No, because I never had chemo or radiation. It was not necessary in the type of cancer that I had. So there's no treatments I had to take. They just had to get mine out.
And you were not on any medication at all, if I remember right, were
no,
you?
No, none whatsoever. The first four months before they decided the surgery, I was on a shot that they gave me that this doctor, in fact, Dr. Pommier, who developed the surgery, had developed a shot. And so
that
I
shot wasn't very expensive, was it?
$7,000 a week. And I had to have one every 4 weeks.
Oh,
yeah.
So, Baron,
but again, $7,000 a week.
We need to talk about this later in the show, Terry. I have a conversation next Monday with Senator Ron Wyden.
Really?
We need to talk about the cost of pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, Doc's got a bill he'd like you to give him.
I will give that to Ron Wyden.
Actually, the senator helped me quite a bit, believe it or not, because when I was having some problems with the VA, a letter from Senator did wonders. They ended up having to pay for it.
So just out of curiosity, what did your surgery cost? Do you know offhand?
The last bill I saw, luckily I liked the very bottom because it said zero.
Yeah, but
for
what
me,
did it say above
$254,700 and some odd dollars. Quarter of $1 million for the surgery and everything I went through from the start, from finding it till after the operation.
And the VA kicked in for most of that?
That's what we understand. I got a zero bill.
Oh, my God. Any idea what your treatment cost?
I have no idea.
Yeah, afraid to ask the parents?
Yes, I'm sure they know. I'm sure they remember. I'm afraid to ask. Yeah. I'm afraid to know.
Wow. Baron, you've never had cancer.
Correct.
Your sister.
In fact, I'm the only guy in this room that has that cancer.
Yeah, exactly. Terry's had.
I lost a kidney to cancer.
Right.
And your sister, how's Brenda doing?
She's good. In fact, I called her this morning and said I'm going to be on the radio, and she gave me some pointers of what not to say.
Mm-hmm. I think Doc's wife gave him some pointers about what not to say, too.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. But she's doing okay?
She is. So for those of your listeners that don't know, my sister was diagnosed in 2015 with metastatic breast cancer. They cut it out, but it jumped into the lymph node system, so it's now floating through her bloodstream. And because of the type that she had, chemo wasn't an option, so she fought it with very high doses of liquid vitamin C, which Linus Pauling, who is at Oregon State, discovered that does fight cancer. There's now an entire building called the Linus Pauling Research Center, and they are researching other ways besides cut it out, burn it out, poison it out to get cancer out. So in her case, it was vitamin C.
When you said chemo wasn't an option, why?
Her cancer is very aggressive but slow growing.
Okay.
So the chemo basically would have killed all the cells around the cancer but not the cancer. And then when the cancer woke up, it would have had no good cells to help fight it.
Yes. I had a wife I lost to ovarian cancer. When she was 41, same thing. Very aggressive, but the cancer chemo could not do anything to really help.
Because chemo is going to kill all the cells. Now, they have figured out how to kind of focus it in a little better, but when the cancer is sitting there quietly and the chemo is killing all the cells around it, when that cancer wakes up, because it's a slow growing but very aggressive, there will be no good cells left to fight the cancer. So that's why chemo wasn't an option for her.
We need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheel and the Lule Group. Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM, brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Welcome back to The Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today's special guest is Baron Robinson and Nolan DeHart, and we are talking about kicking cancer's backside, right?
That works for me.
Works for me, too. And you brought in Nolan, who is a cancer survivor, pretty much. You've had two episodes of cancer, right?
Yes.
And how old are you? Do you mind me asking?
26.
Okay, and you're doing pretty good right now? You feel good?
Yep.
You married?
Not yet, no. Still
stay that way. Live still at home with the family?
No, I live nearby. I live in town. We live out in Independence, Oregon, and still really close with them. We've been through a lot.
So you have been through a lot. You've been through two episodes of cancer. How are you feeling now?
I feel good. It's been about 10 years since my last treatment, and it's left a little bit of residual side effects that are still something I deal with day to day, such as chronic back pain and fatigue, and chemo fog is what they call it, just a little bit of like delayed mental processing sometimes. So it left its mark a bit, but it's every day is a new day to learn how to deal with it that much better. And
on our next segment, I'm going to ask you if you could maybe explain some of the treatment that you went through.
Absolutely.
What you do. As far as the fatigue goes, wait till you get to be Baron and my age. that kicks in every day.
Oh, man. All right. Good to
hey,
know.
Baron, you've got this program, Kicking Cancer's Backside, there. And what have you guys been up to?
We try to find somebody locally every month, it turns out. It was every quarter. But as our name has gotten bigger, as our logo has gotten bigger, we're getting asked more often, so which is nice. That's why we started in the first place. So I was contacted way back at the start of the year by the friend of a girl named Rachel Brettbrunner. Rachel lives in Monroe, which is south of Corvallis, for those that don't know the area.
Okay.
But in May of last year, she went for a hike at Silver Falls. Tripped, fell, hit her knee. Any one of us could have done it, but she's a hairdresser, and so standing, the pain wasn't going away. So finally she went into her doctor, and they thought she had a cyst on her knee. Well, when they went to get the cyst out, actually her entire knee cap was sponge. So she had a cancerous...
Was that caused by the fall?
No.
No.
No,
they
actually...
They found it.
Kind of like Doc, if she hadn't fallen and hadn't gotten that pain, they would never have gone in to check, right?
Wow.
But she had a very rare sarcoma, only 400 cases in the U.S. of the type that she has. So they had to cut it out. And they actually cut her kneecap up to upper thigh, down her leg a little bit. So she had a whole knee replacement. And it was about that time that they reached out to our organization and said, can you help support her? The little town of Monroe just couldn't do a whole lot. And so at the end of June, we organized a 5K walk. We call them love and runs. She was in her wheelchair and her kids were pushing her.
No kidding.
Yeah. So if people go to kicking-cancer.org, as soon as you open our webpage, there's a picture of her and her kids pushing her in a wheelchair. It was just a beautiful day. And she's wearing a yellow shirt because bone cancer is yellow.
Now, you're wearing an orange shirt today. What does that signify?
Well, I wore orange really in Nolan's honor because orange is blood cancer.
Okay.
So every cancer has a color. We remind people.
I didn't know that.
Yep, every cancer has a color, and the generic color for all cancers is actually lavender.
Okay.
The Pink Movement did a really good job of raising awareness to cancer, but pink is not all cancer. Pink is just breast cancer.
So how many different types of cancer are there? Do we know?
Every one of them has a very specific name, but if you break it down to just the type, like blood, there's about 15 cancers. Now, blood has like six or seven different names.
Okay.
You know, the type that he had is different than somebody else's, but it's all blood cancer.
Nolan, what was the type that you had?
Leukemia.
Okay.
ALL leukemia. What
you obviously needed to educate yourself. What did you find out about leukemia?
That it's essentially in your blood where it's made, and your bones in the marrow, and that's where the origin overpopulates the amount of red blood cells that you have in your system, except they are cancerous cells. They're worthless. They don't do anything except take all the space from the good cells, and they crowd out your white cells. And so I learned that there was really only one method to treating it, which was chemo, and it had to get into the blood to get to the blood cancer. And that's why it was a pretty long treatment process. So you can't do surgeries on it.
When you first got cancer, you were 2 years old? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you didn't know what you just knew that you didn't feel good.
Yeah.
Mom, Dad, I don't feel good. And that's all you knew.
From what they've told me, because I was pretty young, was that I started bruising extremely easily. Like a simple fall would leave a huge bruise because there were no platelets there to coagulate the blood. And then at one point I just stopped walking because my legs hurt and I didn't like to stand. And that's when they really thought something was wrong. It's one thing for a kid to like being carried around, but I wouldn't walk anymore because it hurt. And I'd say, ow, legs, you know, ow, my legs hurt.
Right,
and
right.
So they took me in and found
so it. So it came back when you were 13?
Yes.
Okay. At that point, obviously you're a lot older. When they told you, you have the C word, which we don't like to use that word.
Right.
How'd you feel? Were you scared?
You know, not just to sound brave or anything, but I wasn't.
Really?
I didn't remember enough from the first time to be scared, or I quickly realized that it wasn't an option to be scared at that point. That wasn't going to help anything. And
that's kind of unusual to look at it that way, Baron. It wasn't an option to be scared. I mean, when I lost a kidney to cancer back in 97. I was in my 40s.
Wow.
It scared the hell out of me. And I lost my dad, I've lost my mom, and my brother all to cancer. And when they told me I had the C word, it scared the hell out of me. Because you don't know, is it something you can fix, or is it not going to be something we can fix?
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing how resilient kids can be, though, even more so than the adults, I believe.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guests. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Stern Wheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. More in just a moment. We're talking with Nolan DeHart and Baron Robison about cancer. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Stern Wheeler. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Stern Wheeler.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Terry Saul Weekend Show, Salem's original radio station. We are KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and today we're talking with my buddy Baron Robison, and our special guest is Nolan DeHart, and we're talking about kicking cancer's backside there. Nolan, you've had cancer twice, when you were 2 years old, when you were 13 years old. What type of treatment did they do for you?
So my treatment was exclusively chemotherapy. It got really close at one point to needing a blood marrow or a bone marrow transfusion, but those are very dangerous and they can go bad easily if your body rejects the transfusion or the donor marrow. So I was lucky not to have that. It was just a long process of heavy doses of chemotherapy, all different sorts, different types that target different areas. Sick. I had a name for a lot of them, you know, because the different colors. The red one was Kool-Aid, and propofol for surgeries was sleepy milk. And it just kind of, it became a lifestyle in a way, I suppose.
How often would you go for your treatments?
I was up there every week, probably the majority of each week for the first year. There were times where I was sick enough that I had to just stay. And I was in isolation ward because they had special cycled air. They essentially, the chemo destroys everything in your body, including all your white blood cells, so your immune system's down to nothing. A simple sneeze could get you so sick it could threaten your life.
Really?
So doctors would come in like nearly hazmat suits, and all because any germs, you know, were extremely dangerous. And I was lucky enough to have a parent with me all the time, as long as they were healthy, which they always were, thankfully. And they stayed with me. My longest stretch was, I believe, 18 days in the isolation ward, and it's just a little hospital room. And that's you know, it seemed like a long time until I looked up the hallway, and we would communicate with other patients, with each other, by making posters and putting them on the wall. And this one girl down the hall put a poster up that said, 72 more days and you're almost gonna beat my record. And it put it in perspective for me that there's people doing much longer stretches.
So when you think that poor me, poor me, poor me, look down the hall.
Look down the hall, there's always someone who's got it a little worse.
Baron.
We do newsletters.
Okay.
And if anyone goes to kicking-cancer.org, all of our newsletters are on there now, so first quarter through fourth quarter this year. Nolan's story will actually be in first quarter of next year. So I just said to Nolan, will you, you know, if you're comfortable with this, will you write your story out for us? There's also a blog, so you'll see a picture of Nolan throwing the pitch out at the baseball game, and his story in its entirety is on our website.
And his pitch probably went over home plate, didn't it?
It did. That's why we didn't call you, Terry.
I'm telling you. That just makes me mad.
Actually, it's a really good pitch. It's a good picture,
too. I bet it was.
It's a good picture.
See, now I don't like them.
It went way over. The catcher had to stand up.
Good for you.
One of the things I love that Nolan said in his story that he wrote for us, so Nolan was diagnosed on December 8th, 1995, and they sent him off to Dornbecker's. And for those that don't know, I met you in September. We were at the State Fair. The Kwanians here in town raise money for the Dornbecker Hospital, specifically for the doctors, so they can continue their research.
Mm-hmm.
So
very well aware of that. Yeah. I mean, we have friends that are really big on Dornbecker with that.
Yeah, well, because of the research of those doctors, Nolan was told, in fact, in his words, he says, due to years of research, I was facing a 97% survival rate after 5 years. 40 years ago, it would have been about a 45% survival rate.
Really?
So if a kid got a diagnosis in the 70s, his chances of surviving past 5 years was about 45%. But because of the research at Dornbecker's, it's 97%, and Nolan's proof of that. You know, he's well past the five-year mark.
So when you get the C word, it's not an automatic death sentence, is it? Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I remember vaguely in 1962 when my dad got it at 35 years old, they said, you've got lung cancer and there's not much we can do.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays, yeah, there is a lot you can do.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot you can do to proactively prevent it, which we can talk about that more later. Okay. And that's really what our organization is trying to do, is teach you how to proactively prevent.
All right.
There was a couple things in his article that they make sense to read it, but they will make more sense to have actually Nolan talk about it. Nolan, you said your first stage of treatment was called induction. And you said that was a painful bone marrow test. What exactly was that?
They go in and they take a sample of the bone marrow, and they put you to sleep and use a little drill and pull some bone marrow out of your back and test it. And
drill?
Essentially.
Like a Black and Decker drill out of the garage?
I don't know what brand they use specifically, but and they did that a handful of times. That was their way of checking the bone marrow. I don't know why it had to be the back.
Except you were only four when they did this.
Yes. And they did it the second time around, too.
Wow.
There were spinal taps that they did, which are the same idea, except just long needles. It's the only way to really to get chemotherapy into the central nervous system and up to the brain. Of course, that isn't really great afterwards. It can do a little bit of damage. But the treatment, you asked about the treatment. I forgot to mention that when I started, at least, they asked me if I wanted to participate in a new experimental study with this medicine called epituzumab, a smart drug, essentially. I found out I was going to be the ninth person in the country to receive this medicine. I was in stage one of human testing. I did that for about 6 weeks. There were plenty of side effects, had an allergic reaction every time, but it kept the cancer at least at bay, which was never going to cure it, at least. But that's why the research and everything that Barron does and all the money that's raised that goes to keep these doctors, you know, able to do what they do is hugely important, because they're always working on new things and or improving on stuff. And I just feel like there's that smart drug coming around the corner anytime now, and we got to keep supporting them.
So you mentioned at the end of the induction, you were in remission for about 30 days. Then it came back, and your mom called it, quote, hell on earth. It was the intensification treatment. What exactly was the intensification treatment?
Well, due to it, the second time being a relapse, it was treated far more aggressively because it was considered a more aggressive cancer at this point, or it was considered resilient, something that had proven it would come back. It wasn't the new leukemia. I hadn't gotten leukemia twice. It was the same one that just had hidden out and decided to come back 7 years down the line. Intensive chemo is pretty much, they give you so much chemo that you're on the verge of going out anyways. They almost kill you with the medicine, and then they get you right up to the brink, and then they'll give you a transfusion and kind of bring you back.
When you say going out, are you talking death?
Yeah. For example, like the average, I don't know how it's measured, but the number is 10 to 14 for your red blood cell count. And under that, you lose energy. And I was getting, and under 3 or 2, you lose consciousness, and you know, because there's no oxygen. And I would commonly get down to 3, where it was, there was just no blood carrying oxygen really going through my system.
How old were you at that point?
This was between 13 and 15.
So the average person's cell count is between 10 and 12.
Yeah.
If it drops to 6, it's a dangerous level. If you get down to 3, you're on the verge of death.
Right.
And so
red
you mentioned
cells.
In this that you wrote for me that they brought out the big guns, quote mm-hmm. unquote, but often you had less than enough red cell counts to live, and you needed 24 blood transfusions.
That's right, yes. And I like to point out, because I think it makes a really good point, and I've always been a huge supporter, obviously, of blood donations, that there are 24 people out there who have individually saved my life, whether they know it or not. And I'll never know them. They'll never know me. But due to what they did and that time they took and got the needle pricked and donated blood, I got that blood and it kept me alive. And without it, it could have gone either way. So there are 24 anonymous life-saving people out there for me and every other person who receives blood transfusions for whatever reason. You're a hero for donating, and in my eyes. So yeah, they routinely would get you to that brink and then give you a blood transfusion, bring you back a little bit, and then they'd flush you through again and get you right back down. And what they're just trying to do is essentially carpet bomb. It was a war of attrition with these cells, and it was, you're just trying to kill off all the cancer cells and save just enough good ones to be, well, alive. That was their only real way of treating it. And it was, yeah, it was the big guns. They brought out heavy doses and every type of chemotherapy I think that's ever been invented.
So before we're out of time, you mentioned in your little article that you're part of a childhood cancer survivorship group. It's a special group. You're tracking the long-term effects. And one of them that you mentioned to me was that you have chronic skeletal and muscular pain.
Yeah.
So can you describe to people what exactly that feels like?
I've been told by doctors and stuff that I have the back of a 75-year-old with arthritis at this point, essentially. And it's a constant hang up for me, because I'm young, I'm still relatively young, I feel good, I'm healthy, but there's a lot of activities that still cause a lot of pain in the back, and it's always there, it's persistent. I still take some medicine for it, and probably always will. So it left a little bit of itself, or it left something for me to deal with every day, and it reminds me that it's just kind of like staying in the fight, I guess.
Do you think about it every day? Do you think about that you had cancer at one point, or it could come back, or?
I don't know. I try not to even think about the pain either. Just the more you focus on it, the more power it gives it No, I don't think about it. I'm not. If it happens, it happens. But there's no point worrying about it in the meantime.
Do you ever think, why me?
No.
Good for you.
No. There were a lot of things that I learned out of it at the same time. You take the good with the bad, I suppose, and it helped me grow up a bit. It gave me a new perspective on life. It gave me an appreciation for the doctors and my family and the nurses and everything that people do. I think it changed me in a good way. I wouldn't recommend it, but no, I never wondered. It happens to anybody and everybody. And
sure. Just with our final couple of seconds, Baron, you're a parent. I'm a parent. Can you imagine what the parents have to go through?
When I read Nolan's story, I have a 5-year-old grandson. I can't even imagine. Yeah. Not even imagine.
I think it's easier for the kids, honestly.
Oh, I bet it is. Compared to, being a parent, we need to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. More with today's show brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler, Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule State Farm Insurance. Back in a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Soul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM KSLM.
We are back with our final few minutes of The Terry Soul Show. Our guest has been Baron Robison from Kicking Cancer's Backside, and he brought in a special guest, Nolan DeHart. Nolan is a cancer survivor twice, two over, we should say.
Yeah.
You doing okay now? You feel okay?
I'm doing great.
You're a good-looking kid there. You're 26 years old. You're a young man.
Got a lot more life, so.
You certainly do.
Ready
you
for it.
You certainly do.
Thank you.
Is there anybody special in your life? I know you're not married.
No, but
I need to
there
find
is.
All the dirty gossip. I need to know the gossip.
And now it's on the radio.
There is, yes. been dating for a little while.
Anything you want to say on the radio? You're smart. You'll look at me and say, no, sir, there's not.
There's not. Just okay. Hi, and thank you to everyone listening.
A lot of people came to bat for you, didn't they?
Yeah, everybody rallied around. It was incredible.
Well, good
and
for you.
It was hugely important.
So, Baron, how do you prevent?
The reality is that every one of your listeners has cancer right now.
Okay.
But if you have a healthy immune system, it's kicking those cancerous cells out. And that's part of what we try to educate people at our seminars. Dr. Andrew Isaacson is on our board of directors, and he has done several seminars with us, and I learned more about that one topic from him than I ever knew. You know, I have cancer right now. But if I eat blueberries, simple things like that is
really?
Hyper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is a mixture at Costco that has blueberries, raspberries, and blackberries. They're all frozen. I make a smoothie every morning with those three things. Those three berries are really high in antioxidants. Blueberries, blackberries, and raspberries. Food is medicine. Socrates had it right a long time ago. If you're eating good, healthy food, you're actually doing the best you can to keep your body in this prevention mode. And so we educate people. We have one this Wednesday in Lebanon. We do 2-hour seminars, and then we're going to do a full-day workshop in January where we can educate people on how to proactively prevent.
Now, the workshop is in Salem in January, right?
Yeah, the workshop will be here in Salem in January. I've got a flyer coming out in the next couple of days. I'll make sure and get you a copy for the listeners. You know, my sister coined a phrase that really rung true to me. After she went through her diagnosis, she started treating her body differently. She started eating differently. She started exercising differently. She says, you know what? I'm not afraid to die anymore. I just don't want it to be my fault.
Oh, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
If I hit by a car, that's not my fault. If I don't take care of my body,
it's your fault.
That's my fault.
Yeah.
She says, I'm not afraid to die anymore. It's just, I don't want to be my fault. And Nolan kind of said that a second ago,
too. Nolan, are you afraid?
No.
Were you ever afraid of dying?
No. Didn't want to think about it, so I didn't.
You didn't have time to die, you know?
Right.
You really just didn't have the time to.
No, it didn't fit into the plans.
No. Good for you.
Yeah.
There's a little article that my sister sent me, and I thought your listeners would like this. This will be in our newsletter, by the way, so they can find it on our website. It says, have you ever heard of a fire tree? There's a few pine species, that developed a thick, hard coating around the cones. And the only way that coating can open up is when there's enough heat. So these type of pine trees do not release their seeds until they're scorched with fire. Only when the heat is intense enough will the resin allow the seeds to come out. So are we much different than these cones and seeds? A cancer diagnosis can be what ignites that fire that gets us to sprout. Sometimes it takes intense heat and fire to wake us up from a stagnant, stressful part of our life. We ignore the symbols our bodies assign us. We push through the pain. We grab fast food to simply fill our stomachs. We burn the candle at both ends. Sounds like my life for way too long.
Yep.
You know? For me, this is what Brenda wrote, for me, after my cancer diagnosis, I sprouted a happier, healthier woman, wife, friend, mother, grandmother. Remember to be grateful for this fire because it will open up your heart to new and wonderful opportunities and ways of living. That's a really interesting way of looking at a cancer diagnosis. For her, it released all those things going on in her life. Oh, you know, over the course of the last year, she and I had these conversations about how do we share what you learned, and that's how the Kicking Cancer movement began, was just sharing this information. We don't raise money for research. There's lots of groups that do a really good job of that. Kiwanis Dornbecker's do a great job of doing that. We raise money for people like Nolan. We raise money for people like Rachel Brettbrunner. We had a really fun disco night down in Corvallis. It was at this little pub called the Angry Beaver Grill. So we said the Angry Beaver meets the Angry Donkey.
There you go.
And we had a disco night. And we raised about $2,000 for Rachel.
Now, did you get out on the disco floor?
There is video evidence, I will admit. Yes. Yes.
Now, see.
We did the YMCA. It was a lot of fun.
Oh. It's a good way to take care of yourself.
Yeah. But the great thing is that Rachel showed up. She wasn't in her wheelchair anymore. She was walking. She had a cane just to stabilize herself. So we had a silent auction. It was kind of getting slow. I turned to the DJ. I said, let me kind of liven up the auction again. I said, while I'm doing that, find the Bee Gees, Staying Alive.
There you go.
Seemed like an appropriate song. Right now, we've got a girl named Darla Young. In September, she was having these flu-like symptoms. She lives down in Brownsville. She's the assistant manager at the mall there in Albany. She goes in. It wasn't flu. She has blood cancer. And she's currently going through what Nolan went through. On Halloween, she got to go home. So I talked to her friend this morning. She's home. But every week, she has to go up to Portland and go through chemo.
Nolan, we have about 3.5 minutes left.
Okay.
Tell me how you feel about Dornbecker.
I like to describe it as the Disneyland of children's hospitals.
They're incredible up there, aren't they?
There's some almost magic. It takes a special kind of person to work there. Everyone's heart is in their work and what they're doing. The nurses, the doctors, even just the regular staff. I feel safe there. I still do when I go. I feel a weird sense of comfort, actually. I don't see that going away, and I'm really grateful for everything that they do and everything that people do to support Dornbecker's.
I want to coin a new phrase with your listeners.
Okay.
If you go to our website, you'll see this entire statement. It's by a guy named Lorenzo Cohen at the MD Anderson in Texas. And he says that stage one and stage two with the C word, once you hear the cancer word, your brain goes into fight or flight mode. He says at stage one and stage two, let's just say, Terry, we have determined some things that require active surveillance, and we want to put you on an anti-cancer living lifestyle. That is his recommendation to the MD Anderson. That is the recommendation that I'm going to make to Ron Wyden. We need this whole nation to stop saying you have stage one or stage two. Stage three or stage four, that's a whole different risk level. But at stage one or stage two, once you hear cancer, your body just, like you said, you know, some things have come up that we need to have active surveillance. And we're going to put you on an anti-cancer living lifestyle prescription.
When my brother called me, I was working at a different radio station across town, and he called up and he says, well, I got cancer. Just like that. And I remember, I thought, okay, let's address it. It's not going to be, you know, my brother was with his tattoos, and he was one of the toughest SOBs you've ever seen in your life. He just says, you know what? It's not going to get me. I'm going to fight it. And he did. He fought and fought and fought. Unfortunately, cancer doesn't care how tough you are.
Yep.
Cancer doesn't care who you are, what sex you are. Cancer doesn't care about anything. When it's going to come, it's going to come.
Yeah. Yep.
Never stop fighting.
Less than a minute left to go. Nolan, would you do me a favor? Would you come back and chat with us again?
I would love to.
Don't go on your father's show. Come over to my show.
I appreciate that. Yes, I would be happy to.
And Baron,
anytime.
You know you're always welcome here because I always enjoy talking to you. We learned so much from you. In the final 30 seconds or so, would you like to address Nolan?
I met Nolan the very first time at Cancer Awareness Weekend. We talked briefly, then he threw the pitch out. And today is the second time I've met Nolan. We've chatted on the phone. Second time I met Nolan, this kid has more courage than so many people.
Is there a Facebook? How people get in touch with you, Baron?
Kicking-cancer.org. That's our new website. It's a great website. You'll actually see Nolan's story there. At the top, you'll see stories. Click on that. There's the entire story of Nolan's is there, along with him throwing out that pitch there at Cancer Awareness Weekend.
Nolan, do you ever go speak to people?
I used to a lot, and I would love to keep doing it.
Without giving a cell phone number, is there a contact number that you can get? Don't give me your parents' home number either. Is there a phone number that people can get in touch with you? Or is there a social media they can get in touch with you at?
I suppose not. Social media, Facebook, if you type in my full name, actually, first name is actually George. So George Nolan DeHart, DeHart. I'm the only result. Happy if they to add new friends, if they want to contact me or send me a message, I get back to them.
And if they go to our website, his story is a blog, so you can go to Nolan's story on our website and add a comment like, hey, Nolan, love to have you come talk on the blog. He'll see it there, too.
Got it. All right. Yeah. Baron, thank you, my friend. Nolan.
Thank you.
Hang in there, buddy. You're doing awesome. I'm proud of you.
Thank you for having me.
We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 11 a.m. here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I would love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Holmes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.